Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're here with Lynn, Shanning and Roshan. Now, we've been running a poll this morning on the BFM Twitter account asking you what makes you travel locally. We've had 115 votes. 37% said because Malaysia is nice. Now, 32% said that it's cheaper. 20% said that it's more convenient. 10% voted visit family. Do let us know what you think about this. Now, the reason why we're talking about this is because last month, the CAM, or the Civil Aviation Authority of Malaysia, they were under fire because as they announced that the US Federal Aviation Authority had downgraded Malaysia's aviation regulatory body to Category 2. But now, according to The Edge, Cabinet has approved the integration of CAM and the Malaysian Aviation Commission.
Sources told The Edge that this has been done in an effort to consolidate the power in regulating the economic and technical aspects on the civil aviation industry. However, the structure of the joint entity is yet to be known because Cabinet needs to amend and pass legislation to unwind MAFCOM before the integration can proceed. A little bit of background on the two. MAFCOM, Malaysia's Aviation Authority, was split into two bodies back in 2016, where MAFCOM was set to look at the economic and commercial matters of the industry, while CAM oversees the technical and safety matters of the sector.
Now, both functions were part of the Department of Civil Aviation, or DCA, before it was split up under Dato' Sri Najib's administration. The transport minister back then, Dato' Sri Leong Tiong Lai, said that this was done in line with the government's promise to spur Malaysia's aviation industry to new levels. However, some quarters commented that having MAFCOM operate outside the Ministry of Transport is a common practice in many countries, and this was done to protect the government from possible challenges arising from regulatory decisions made by MAFCOM.
So the thing is that this integration is now raising some uncertainties over the regulated asset-backed framework that MAFCOM is currently working on. Now, they have recently announced that it's in the final stages of completing the framework, which is supposed to form the basis of funding and developing the airport network in the country. Now, this integration could set back the announcement of the RAB, which was initially set to be announced by the end of the year.
Yeah, so the RAB framework forms the basis for funding and developing airport networks in the country, or at least it's supposed to. RAB network, as mentioned, has a set nominal pre-tax weighted average cost of capital about 11%. And this means that Malaysia Airport's holdings will yield a return of 11% for investments that it makes to upgrade and expand its facilities and capacities in the future.
Now, why this regulated asset-backed model is so important, or at least it needs to be announced and implemented very quickly, is that because there are two airports in Malaysia which are overloaded in terms of capacity, and that is KLIA1 and also the Penang Airport. Now, we know that Malaysian Airports runs these airports, and as part of their task or their mandate, they are supposed to also expand these airports. But how much money they spend, what kind of capex they implement, that was supposed to be determined by the regulated asset-backed model. So then they know, okay, what kind of capital they should get, and in turn, what kind of return they should expect. Because it's supposed to be how much money you put in eventually means how much money you take back. But if this RAB is still in the air and we don't really know, then what happens to KLIA1 and Penang International Airport? Because basically, they are full. And as we know that both airports, you know, they are it's causing an inconvenience to travellers.
Yeah, I think this is going to be interesting, particularly for MAHB's shares, because since June, the RAB expectations that it was going to be rolled out have fueled interest in MAHB shares. Now, for example, MAHB's stock took a bit of a dive 2 months ago when Transport Minister Anthony Lok revealed that the ministry is looking at alternatives aside from the RAD for future developments of the airports.
Yeah, if we look at Malaysian Airport share price on a 12-month basis, it's been somewhat volatile. So it even hit a low of RM6.61 in November recently, and then it was a high of RM8.82 sometime in July. Now, everybody kind of likes airport operators because that's really one easy way to play tourism, and we know Malaysia, mm-hmm. tourism is a big thing. But with this RAB still in the air, you know, we probably will see volatility in MAHB share price for the moment.
And speaking of tourism, while the aviation industry is in turmoil, the tourism sector apparently remains quite resilient in the face of economic headwinds. So the NST reported that data between the month of January and September showed tourist arrivals rose 4% to 20 million in comparison to 19 million in the same period last year.
Domestic tourism in particular has recorded growth in several states. The 11% increase of domestic tourists recorded last year is likely to continue this year. And I think we were talking about this yesterday, how passenger service charges from international passengers are looking a bit more volatile, whereas the domestic side has really bolstered.
Yeah, so despite the overall increase in tourist numbers, how do Malaysians travel and are they still spending money? The question is because hotel occupancy rates was only at 61%, which is down from 66% in 2018. Now, the Malaysian Association of Hotel CEO, Yap Lin Seng, said that this is due to Malaysians just being more prudent. And most Malaysians, of course, as we know, avoid international travel due to economic difficulties and weakening of ringgit. But, so they travel more domestically, but why is occupancy lower? And that's a function also of the rise of room inventory in the country, while Airbnb has become increasingly popular choice over hotel stays due to the lower price range.
Yeah, he added that there are currently 53,000 homestays registered under Airbnb, which is certainly a lot more competition for the hotel industry and maybe not as... it gives a lot more choice to tourists in the country mm-hmm. itself.
Yeah, it's no longer a disruptor. It's almost like a way of life, isn't it, when you book Airbnb? I mean, most people I know, actually, that's their first choice versus looking at a hotel nowadays.
Yes, because usually in a lot of cases on Airbnbs, you can get fees that are 100 ringgit cheaper than what you might see in a hotel. So it's almost like a no-brainer choice in some cases. So it's unsurprising then that the Malaysian Hotels Association would be seeing their occupancy rates coming down. Now, of course, our Prime Minister, Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad, has also said in July that domestic tourism is a key contributor to growth in the economic and services sector because of the expenditure for domestic tourism registered a growth of 12% at 60 billion ringgit last year. Now, it's going to be interesting to see particularly how this comes into play and how domestic tourism grows as we head into Visit Malaysia Year 2020. Because typically when we talk about these kind of Visit Malaysia years, we're talking about international tourists. But how is that going to change the spending habits and the consuming and the tourism habits of our own people?
Especially if we look at the PSC, the passenger service charge. Now, if you keep in mind this whole CAM and MAFCOM merger, possible merger that's going to happen, the passenger service charge could be a way to fund both organizations into one, right? But if international passengers don't grow, then we're going to see the PSC compress even further.
Yeah, but I'm just curious in terms of what our own ministry is doing for Visit Malaysia Year. You know, guys, it's like December, right? But we don't really see much. Okay, maybe it's not targeted at us because we are here, right?
Yeah,
but what are they doing in terms of international campaigns? Have they rolled out any activities to really get tourists to come and visit us? I don't see much of it.
I wonder if they're still advertising on the Premier League. I'm not really sure if they do that anymore. But I guess you're right, Shani. We won't be so aware of that because they're doing it in other countries. But it would be interesting to get some feedback on that.
Do let us know if you happen to have caught some Visit Malaysia Year 2020 marketing. And of course, also vote on the poll we have running on the BFM Twitter account. That's at BFM Radio, because we're asking you what makes you travel locally. But right now, we're heading into the 8 o'clock news. And after that, the Breakfast Grill, where Wong Xiaoning speaks with Oliver Roche, chairman of the Irish Chamber of Commerce in Malaysia. Be sure to stay tuned for that after the 8 o'clock news, BFM 89.9.